Here, Jesus in our text is now moving towards the borders of the Canaanites in order to find rest. But Mark, in his parallel account, says that as Jesus makes his way towards Tyre and Sidon, he could not be hid. And as Jesus makes his way towards the borders of Tyre and Sidon, there comes to him a woman. There meets him a woman of the accursed race, for she was a Canaanite, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. Here comes to Jesus a woman. Here comes a woman to the Savior who should have never existed. The Canaanites were to be exterminated from the land in the days of the conquest of Israel. But this did not occur. God, in gracious providence, preserves them down to this very moment when the Savior would pass by their coast. And this woman had no doubt heard of this Messiah called Jesus, living so near the borders of Israel. The evidence of this is that as Jesus comes passing by, she cries out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." Here was a woman that was in possession of the knowledge that the Messiah would come from the line of the great King of Israel, David. But this cry for mercy to the Son of David is not just for her. It is a cry for her daughter that we read in verse 22 that was grievously vexed with a devil. Can you imagine what this woman felt like? What it was like to wake up every morning and her daughter was possessed of a devil? How this woman must have felt. She likely heard and possibly saw even the Son of David casting out devils. She knew that her gods of Canaan could not suffice. And so she leaves them behind to come to the one who can perform this great miracle. But as she comes to the one that she has heard about, that can perform miracles and cast out devils, to her bewilderment, as she cries out for mercy, she receives none. She receives an apparent cold shoulder from the Lord. And seeing he does not respond, she cries out then to his disciples to cast out the devil. The disciples, then troubled by her continuing agitation, beseech the Lord to do something about it. And our Savior responds with even more apparent disinterest in this woman when he says, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And what will the response of this woman be to this claim of the Savior? She, in desperation, lets it go in one ear and out the other. She then, despite our Savior's words, casts herself at his feet. And she cries out to the only one that she knows that can help her. She says, "Oh Lord, help me." This is a woman this evening in desperation. And again, the Savior responds with words that would cause most to probably lose all hope. He says to her at that moment, he says, "Woman, it's not meet for me. It's not proper. It's not right that I take the children's bread and I cast it to the dogs." How will she respond to this seeming coldness and indifference now? This is a woman that refuses to take no for an answer, and takes the words of the Savior and uses them, as it were, against him. She, as Luther said, concedes and asks nothing more than just to let her be a dog, as he himself judged her to be. What will Christ say to her now? She has shown great importunity, consistency, and faith in her pleading. And certainly people let their dogs have the crumbs which fall from the table. And it is at this point that Christ, after testing her faith, opens up his heart of compassion and grants her the request that she so desires. Here we find our Lord stooping to one who is by all accounts defiled, estranged from the promises and the covenants, and unworthy. Our Lord marvels at her faith. There's only two instances in the New Testament when we see the Lord marveling. He marvels here at this woman's faith. And this woman was a Gentile. The second time we see the Lord marveling was at the centurion's faith. Two Gentiles, and the Lord marveled about it. The Lord then heals this Canaanitish woman's daughter that very moment. So we see clearly that the principle here in this story is persistency and consistency in prayer despite apparent denials. This was a woman that learned that God's delays are not God's denials. This was a woman that was desperate and expressed great faith despite the odds. And you may be here tonight, and you may feel that your prayers have no effect upon the Lord. You, like this woman, you have come and you have cast your burden at the feet of the Savior, and it appears that there is no answer from him. And you do it again, and there appears to be no answer. It appears that, by all accounts, the Lord is disinterested in your particular problem. And you may say, Pastor, my situation is dire, and there is no answer to prayer. Heaven is like brass, and God shuts out my prayer. Is there any hope for me tonight? Oh, my friend, there is always hope. And so I want to bring before you tonight the message: the need of dogged faith in desperate times. The need for dogged faith in desperate times. I want you to see, first of all, with me this evening, that her condition shows the need of dogged faith in desperate times. This clearly was a woman in desperate situation. But what made it all the more desperate was her condition. Her condition shows her need for a dogged faith in desperate times. And what was her condition? Here was a woman that was helpless. Verse 22, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. There was nothing that she could do in her strength to help her daughter. Just think about the various examples. This is not just a light thing. When the Bible says that this woman's daughter was possessed of a devil, think about what the Bible says about people that were possessed of devils. Think about the man who had a young son that was possessed of a devil, and oftentimes the spirit threw him into the fire, or threw him into the water. And the child was tormented, and the spirit sought to kill the child. We think about the maniac of Gadara that couldn't be bound by chains. He had supernatural strength and ran through the graveyard naked. Could you imagine, if the parents were living, of that man, how they felt about their child? And here is a woman that is totally helpless, totally unable to do anything about this situation, totally unable to remove the demon, to remove the devil. And she has come to the one that she has heard about. She has come to the one that has the ability to deal with her problem. This woman was helpless. And being a Canaanite, we would assume that she had went to the gods of the Canaanites and was not helped. She no doubt had gone to the gods of the Canaanites, which were Baal, and many associated Baal with the sun. And she may have even offered sacrifices to this so-called god. All these so-called gods had failed her. But then there came a time that she heard of the Jewish Messiah. She heard of this one that was called the Son of David, of the royal line of Israel, that from him would arise another king. She lived within the borders of Israel. She heard of this man that healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. You said, how did she know? Well, in Mark 3 and verse 7 through 12, we read that there was a group from Tyre and Sidon that followed and pursued Jesus. And they saw him cast out devils, raise the dead, and heal the sick. And there's no doubt about it in my mind that these people went back to Tyre and Sidon, and they told those people what they saw, that a man called Jesus of Nazareth that had power to raise the dead and cast out devils, that was more powerful than any of their gods in the land of Canaan. And she, as a woman, comes to Christ. And she comes with an apparent faith. For we read in our text that as she comes to him, she calls him Lord in verse 22. And she calls him Son of David. Now, we're not told how she acquired this knowledge, but she's obviously was searching soul. And she no doubt heard about this from those that had come from Tyre, that had seen Jesus casting out devils, as we had mentioned. And as one that was searching, she comes to the only one that can meet her need. And today, you, like this woman, may be in a desperate situation and completely powerless to handle the dilemma that you find yourself in tonight. You might have walked through the doors of this church in deep financial despair, in debt beyond all unbelief, and you are wondering, how on earth can the Lord help me in this situation? You may have walked through the doors of the church this evening, and you feel that your marriage is right now upon the rocks, and you feel that things are not the way that they need to be. You may have come here this evening with children wayward away from God. Though they were raised up in the church, they heard the good word of God. They had, as it were, almost tasted of the powers of the age to come. They have turned their back upon the things of the Lord and want nothing to do with him. You may have come here this evening worried about all the things happening in the church and all the trials and all the apostasy and all the liberalism and social justice and so forth going on. And you wonder, how on earth will the Lord meet the need? I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a God in heaven that is very willing to meet the needs of his people. That you find yourself this evening in a very good place where you can call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord will answer you. You may be helpless, but you, like this woman, can come today to the one who delights to help those that cannot help themselves. And you can come to him in believing faith. This is one of the things the Lord is pleased to do. When you are truly in a helpless condition, totally unable, without the aid of any other person to fix the situation. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in a financial bind and we can run to another person to help us. But when we are finally in a situation where there is no one that can help us, when we go to the doctors and we hear the dreaded word, you have cancer, what are we to do? What are we to do when we are utterly helpless? We must come to the Lord in prayer and trust that the Lord delights to help those that cannot help themselves. Here was a woman that was helpless. Her condition was that she was helpless, but she was also hopeless. We read in verse 22 that she was a woman of Canaan. A woman of Canaan. In Mark's account, she is called a Greek. In Mark 7:26, she's called a Greek. She's called a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. And here is this woman who was of that accursed race, which was to be obliterated off the face of the earth. Here comes the spiritually unclean, as it were. Here comes one that was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and a stranger of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2:12. She had no rightful claim to the Son of David according to the Jews. This is seen in the fact that Christ ignores her cry as she cries out for mercy. Oh, when the Jews cried out, he heard. But here, this Gentile, as she cries out, there is no immediate response. He answered her not a word in verse 23. Jesus already made it clear that his early mission was directed to unbelieving ethnic Israel. We read that in Matthew 10, 5 and 6. He tells his disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And at this stage of his ministry, there was no primary focus yet on the Gentiles, with the exception of the Roman centurion in chapter 8 of Matthew. This woman was hopeless, for Christ had come for the lost sheep of Israel. But no doubt, as she heard that word, lost sheep of Israel, she lodged and she focused upon that word lost. And no doubt that word lost lodged in her heart, for that is exactly what she was, a lost soul. But today you come here as a child of God, and you are not hopeless as it regards your standing with God. For you that are a child of God, you are in Christ. But you may feel hopeless regarding the situations in life that you are in right now. Truly, you may feel hopeless. But today you can come in prayer to the God of all hope. Today you can come to him and find hope. You might be helpless, but he delights to help those that cannot help themselves. Today you might feel hopeless, but you can come to the God who is the God of all hope. And even though all things may appear hopeless and there be no chance of a working of God, we, like this woman, must persist in faithful prayer. Despite the odds, she cries out for mercy. Despite the mountain of impossibility and the mountain of hopelessness, we must persist in prayer. Those that are hopeless, he delights in his timing to bring hope. Friend, I don't know what you have been praying about for a particular length of time. The Lord has not yet answered. I trust that the Lord is saying to you tonight through his word, keep on persevering in the place of prayer. Like this woman, you might feel helpless and hopeless, but you can pray to God despite the way that you feel, anchoring yourself in his objective truth and his objective promises in his word. So her condition shows her dogged faith in desperate times. But secondly, her petitions show her dogged faith in desperate time. We find here in this account the woman's four petitions as she comes before Christ. Clearly, we see consistency and persistency in faith on her part. Look with me in verse 22. And behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Here the woman offers a cry for mercy to Christ. Now, justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. She is pleading for something that she does not deserve and has no right to as a Gentile outside of the covenant promises. This woman who was a Canaanite did not deserve mercy. Neither did any of the Jews actually deserve it. It is a free gift of God. But in her helpless and hopeless condition, she cries out to the Lord for pity and sympathy. And this is the only hope she had. But it was hope enough and faith enough. Here is a cry for mercy to Christ. But we find in verse 23 that there was a cry for mercy to the disciples. We read that after she cries out to the Savior in verse 23, we read there, but he answered her not a word. She had no doubt heard that our Lord's disciples had been given authority to cast out devils. In Matthew 10 and verse 1, we made mention of that. And when she saw that no response came from the Savior, she runs to his disciples. You notice that the disciples say in verse 23, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Since Jesus would not listen to her, she goes to the followers of Jesus. She goes to the disciples, and she, if you will, agitates them and cries out to them, can you heal my daughter? She is a woman in desperation. These disciples revert then back to Christ and ask him to send her away. So two times here, she has been denied by Christ. She's been denied by the disciples. And then they turn her back to Christ. And here again, she cries out to the Lord. Here is a cry for help and aid. We read there in verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Rather than turning away now, we read what happens in verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Here this woman is. She has been denied twice, but now she falls down at the Savior's feet, and we read that she worships him. She bows down before him, and here is this Gentile that is acknowledging that he is a Lord, that he is the true son of David. She falls down before him in worship and says, Lord, help me. So rather than turning away, she persists all the more vehemently in her request. She throws herself at the very feet of the Savior and worships him. And she cries out, Lord, help me. And this is a cry of faith. What's very interesting here is that this word help, this little verb help, is in the imperative. Here, this woman is demanding of Jesus that he help her. Here, desperation brings about a bold proclamation. She's actually giving the Savior a command. This is a woman that would not be denied. No is an answer that she could not accept. She must get the attention of the Son of David. Here she is, crying out in bold proclamation, Lord, help me. But then we see that she is denied yet again. As she cries out and worships at his feet, she is denied yet again, verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Oh, these words that she hears of the Savior must have almost put an end to her hope. And it would have put an end to the hope of most. But she knew what this language well implied when he said that the bread, the crumbs were simply for the dogs. It's not meat to take the children's bread and even to cast it to the dogs. She knew what this language implied. She was a Gentile dog that had no right or claim to the Son of David. But still she refused to be denied. And her faith, and she had faith that he would yet answer. Now you might be thinking in your mind, I can't believe the way this woman persisted. But my friend, Jesus is trying to teach us this is a real account that took place in history. And the Lord has put it in his word as a means of teaching you and I the importance of persisting in prayer, even when people think it's crazy, if you will, what we are praying about. We continue in faith and believing prayer. And this woman continued. She mustered up yet another response to the testing of her faith by the Savior. Oh, you see, this is what the Savior has been doing all along. The Savior's not been unkind. He's not been uncompassionate. He's not been unloving. He's been testing the faith of this woman. Is she really in desperation enough for what she is asking? And here the Lord is testing her faith. And here the woman takes the words of the Savior and casts them back at the Savior's feet. We read in verse 27, truth, Lord. She says, Lord, you're right. She said, I am a dog. The word here for dog is a little dog, like a puppy. She said, Lord, you're right. I'm like that. She said, but yet even the dogs, the little puppies, if you will, they eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Dr. H.A. Ironsides commented on this, and he said this. It is this, the woman said this. Lord, I recognize the fact that I am just a poor, outcast Gentile. But Lord, give me some of the crumbs that the children of the kingdom are refusing, and allow me to take the place even of a puppy under the table, and so obtain mercy at thy hand. What a beautiful picture. She said, Lord, I just want to be a little puppy, just receiving a crumb from your hand. And this is her last plea to the Savior. This is her last word to the Savior. Time and time again, she cried after the Savior and would not be denied. And I ask you tonight, are you showing the same tenacity in the place of prayer as this woman? Have you prayed? And it seems that for a long time you have prayed. You might have prayed for weeks. Those weeks have now turned to months. Those months have now turned to years. Those years have turned to decades. And you wonder if the Lord will answer prayer. Maybe you're ready this evening to throw in the towel and say, you know what, the Lord, he doesn't really care. But if this woman who was helpless, who was hopeless, who was outside of the covenant community could persist in prayer, and the Lord marveled at her prayer, the Lord marveled at this woman's faith, why can you not persist in prayer? You who are helpless and hopeless, continue pleading until he gives you an answer of peace. The last thing I want you to see with me is the reward of her dogged faith. This woman's consistent pressing upon the Savior, her need, was eventually answered. You remember the parable that the Lord Jesus gave about the particular woman who had an issue and had a problem, and she constantly went before the judge again and again and again, and the judge got so tired of her coming that he said, you just give her whatever she wants. And the Lord said, this is the persistency, the consistency, a prayer that I want you to have as you come to me. Here Jesus recognized her need and he met the need. This testing of her faith proved the sincerity of her faith. Christ was so amazed at her faith that he said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And what apparently was a cold approach from the Savior was a testing of faith. Now we sing that hymn, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And certainly he was doing it here. And this woman passed the test with flying colors. Her persistence in prayer brought about an answer from the Savior. Jesus proves that he is not just the deliverer of ethnic Israel, but of all those who call upon him in truth. This is what is being taught in this passage. Persistent prayer, yes, but also that the Lord delivers all that call upon him in truth. And this woman persisted in prayer and her prayer was answered. Cannot the Lord do the same for you today? Those whom the Lord tests in the place of prayer, he delights to answer. What is it that you've been praying about? And it seems that every door has been shut. What have you been praying about? And it seems that the Savior is not even interested. You feel like Jeremiah when he said in Lamentations, when I cry and shout, the Lord shutteth out my prayer. Lamentations 3:8. Could it be that the Savior is testing your faith? Hear what Charles Spurgeon said regarding the trial of our faith. He said, and I quote, expect trial also, because trial is the very element of faith. Faith is a salamander that lives in the fire, a star which moves in a lofty sphere, a diamond which bores its way through the rock. Faith without trials is like a diamond uncut, the brilliance of which has never been seen. Untried faith is such a little faith that some have thought it no faith at all. What fish would be without water, or a bird without air? That would be faith without trial. If thou hast faith, thou mayest surely expect that thy faith will be tested. The great keeper of the treasures admits no coin to his coffers without testing. The Lord will test his people, and he will test you in the place of prayer. Is he wanting to see if you faint in the day of adversity? Here, this woman in this passage illustrates beautifully to us the illustration of Christ earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's exactly what the woman did. She asked. She kept asking, she kept seeking, and she kept knocking, and the Lord answered her prayer. This woman proved that this promise was not just reserved to ethnic Israel, but to all who call upon God in truth. And what reason have you to not persist in prayer today? What reason have you to not believe God? Could it be? Could it be? Could it just be that the next prayer that you offer to God regarding that particular thing you have prayed about for years, that the Lord will say to you, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. This was a woman who knew what it meant to wrestle in prayer. This was a woman who would not be denied. The old spiritual hymn says this: as Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. An instant with a courage bold, I stood upon his word. I would not be denied, I would not be denied, till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. And I think if you were to sum up this woman, it is this. It is the words of that hymn that I have just quoted to you. I would not be denied. Now, we also understand, and I want to put in this little caveat. We understand that God is sovereign over all things. That he orchestrates all things in accordance to his holy will. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. But I also believe that the Lord teaches very clearly in his word that when you pray, you keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying and asking and seeking and knocking until the door opens. Sovereignty and persistency in the place of prayer are not apparent contradictions, but they are friends that we must learn to live with and be able to reconcile. So stand upon his word today. All God's promises are in him, yea and amen. Continue to pray until you have gone through with God. Until you know that the Lord has answered your prayer, continue in prayer and say to the Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. My prayer is that as you leave this place this evening, that you would be more encouraged to go to the place of prayer, trusting that the Lord will give you an answer of peace in the near future, and keep on praying and praying until the Lord gives you that answer of peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the truths of the scriptures. And God, how I ask you that we would be people of persistent prayer. God, I think about our own particular denomination in which we are part of, that was birthed in prayer, and it was a long, persistent crying out to God, like this woman that would not be denied until God sent the blessing of power and blessing and anointing upon the preaching of his word. And oh God, how we are so, it is so easy for us when we live in this fast food culture to expect that we get answers to prayer immediately. But Lord, sometimes you call upon thy people to pray and pray and pray and pray until they get the answer on the way. So Lord, help us to be persistent in the place of prayer, to lay hold upon the horns of the altar, as it were, and to not let go until we hear from thee. So Lord, I ask of you that you would please stamp this message deep into the hearts of thy people. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen.